حضرت امام جلال الدین سیوطی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, who was a great personality, a great person, and in his kitab, Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith from Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, a very great companion, noble companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a great status from amongst the sahaba, from amongst the noble companions. And this is a very unique hadith that has been narrated. And he stated that three things are there that are considered not preferred, makruh, not considered as good. But in reality, with regards to those three things, they can be very mubarak, very blessed. So there are two opposites here, that people think they are makruh, people think that those three things are undesirable, but they are mubarak. And those three things that are considered as makruh or undesirable, not preferred, but they are mubarak. And definitely if we look at those three things, then nobody prefers or likes those three things. But in reality, the actual essence of those three things is very good. So this sahabi, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he is pointing us in the direction of the reality, the benefit of these things. Because zahiri, apparently, outwardly, they're not good. They don't look good. But he stated, radiyallahu anhu, that the reality, the essence of these three things is very good and very mubarak. And if somebody sees the reality of these three things, then they will be very beneficial for that person. So the first thing that he mentioned was death. Death. Obviously death, if anybody thinks about death or death is presented to anyone, then nobody will like death. Nobody would prefer death. But subhanAllah, this was the thinking of a companion, of a sahabi, who is telling us that why do you think that death is not good or undesirable? Obviously our desires, our nafs, our emotions don't embrace or don't accept, obviously, death. It's very difficult to accept death that will overtake somebody and there's distress related to death, or people are upset or sad. And there are many things like this that the nafs stops us from liking those things, but they are good. For example, salah is good, isn't it? Praying salah, namaz, very good action. Very good action. And if we start the day in the morning with salah, it's good, isn't it, to start the day with salah, namaz. We know that salah is a very good thing. We know prayer is beneficial. But nafs, our nafs has made salah makruh for us, or undesirable for us. And that action, which is not good at that time, to lie down on the mattress at that time, it's become very important for us at that time. And salah, namaz, which in reality is great, at that time the nafs is saying, no, rest. Oh, I'm enjoying myself, I can see dreams, and my tiredness is being eliminated, and I'm tossing and turning and sleeping. But is it good at that time to be sleeping? Nope. So at that time, our emotions and desires make the good thing makruh at that time for us. And this is the same thing that this sahabi radiallahu anhu is saying, that death in reality, maut, doesn't look good to anyone or sound good to anyone. Nobody will say, oh, I like it. Because when you hear the word death, obviously everybody starts to sweat and starts to tremble and shake. And our hands and feet will get cold if maut is coming. And if someone says maut, we say, no maut. If somebody starts to sneeze, he says, oh, I've started to sneeze, maybe it will be a flu. Then after flu will come pneumonia. After pneumonia, the lungs will fail. So it multiplies, isn't it? The story is made from one sneeze. Okay, let's take the flu jab, the injection. And so many people, they take the flu jab. Why? Because the end point is they want to prevent illness, which prevents death and mold. So people try their utmost. Obviously, we're afraid and we're cautious. So here comes the ajeeb point, if we pay attention to this point. That the reality, what is the reality of maut? Death. Really. So now this sahabi, this companion, is removing the veil so that muhabbat and desire and love is achieved. Because maut is lazim. It's going to happen. So the reality of death we will understand in one word. The reality of death is that you, me, us, we will be transferred from this world to the next. That's it, isn't it? Where am I going? Why am I going? This is very good. So you're going to that world where we are going to meet Allah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Who are we going to meet? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we going to meet? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who else will we meet? The Sahaba ikram, the noble companions. Who will we meet? The Ahlul Bayt, the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah gives an opportunity, we'll go up to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, we'll shake his hand. We will see Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, we will speak to him, we will see him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, we'll go and embrace him, mashallah. Hazrat Imam Hussein, his blessed face, we will see it. So we'll go to the hereafter. We will meet all these great personalities. So the desire, should we not desire this? Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So why are we afraid then? MashaAllah. So how the veil has been lifted. So here a key point comes to mind, which is being made apparent as no. That we are carrying out a drama act and we're not speaking sense. We said that we don't love Allah because maut leads to the meeting with Allah. Allah says, if you want to meet me, then obviously you'll have to pass away. We say, yes, no, not yet, Allah. We don't want to meet you yet. This is what we say, isn't it? No, I want it to delay. Hazrat Abdullah bin Zakariya, rahmatullah alayh, great wali of Allah. And Hazrat Allama Suyuti, they also narrate from him. He used to say, if somebody says to me, that if somebody gives me control, that would you like a life of 100 years with ibadah, with amal, with worship, and one day or less than that, is that you will be given maut. What would you prefer? He said, maut, let that come first. He said, are you mad that I want to stay 100 years alive, even if it's with ibadah? After that, even then, the end point will be that I have to meet Allah. So why don't I meet Allah today? I cannot live without meeting Allah. Subhanallah. Why should I not meet Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pious predecessors? Am I mad that I want to stay here and extend my stay? And we, as I said to you, the flu injection, the flu jab, everyone's taking the flu jab. Why? Because we don't want to meet Allah. And maut is the meeting with Allah. What is the meaning of maut? To meet Allah, to get prepared, to be prepared, to transfer the state to the meeting of Allah. Because maut is a veil. When you remove the veil, then the friend is meeting with the friend. The friend is then introduced to the friend. So why are we worried? Why are we afraid or scared or concerned? So in other words, if we think here, you have to go to India, Pakistan, travel, your wife and children are there, you 6, 7, 8 years, you haven't traveled to meet them, your mother is there, your walid, your father, your sisters, your uncle, your wife, your children are there, and after 6 years you're traveling there to your homeland and you know that I have to purchase a ticket, I've purchased my ticket, what will be your hal, what will be your feeling? Allergy, beautiful feeling will be running through your body. I'm going to meet my mother, I'm going to go and speak to my family, or I'm going to meet my family members, or how will he be, or what's that person going to be like, or I'm going to meet this person, what's their hal going to be? And you'll start thinking and speaking and you'll feel, oh, quickly I want to be in the plane so I can reach there quickly. Why? Because you have that desire and passion to meet. Rather, what is it? There's a desire, deep-rooted desire. I want to go and meet my relatives that I've got love with. So that is the basis of your love, that you're desperate. It is your children, your family, your daughters, your wife, your mother. You won't feel, you won't sleep, because the next day when you're about to travel, you'll pack and you won't feel sleep. You want to quickly get to the airport, sit on the plane so you can get home. This is the difference. So what we realize here is that with the mother, with the children, with the wife, we have so much love that we have a deep passion. So if we had love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why would we be afraid of maut, of death? So subhanAllah, great learning. And what's the point here? Beautiful message is that we don't have love with Allah in reality. It's a fake. We are ashik. We say we are ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when we say in the ears that you want to meet Allah, how do I meet? In the dream? No, it's greater way than this. That you are a traveler now and maut will come to you. You'll die one day. No. Oh, maut, please don't come. It's okay, I want to stay here forever and I'll just say nare and reciting and I can do what I want, eat and drink in the world and I'm an ashik. That's it. But death makes us meet Allah. And Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, when the angel of death comes, will come and say, come, Allah is waiting for you. When the angel of death came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angel of death said that Allah, your Rabb, is your mushtaq. Please quickly hurry up, hasten towards the hereafter. So this desire, this passion, where's it gone? This desire to meet Allah in a nice way. Why are we afraid of maut, death? Because we don't have love with our Rabb, with Allah. We have to meet Allah. It's definitely going to happen. We don't have love with Nabi al-Karim Sallam. We just say, oh, we love Rasulullah Sallam. Let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us true love in our hearts for Allah and His Rasul Sallam. How can we do this? Now go towards the other side. I will explain how to get love for Allah and His Rasul. Do you understand now that we are carrying out a drama where we don't actually present the genuine love for Allah and His Rasul? Because we have to depart one day. We have to pass away one day. So why are we afraid of maut? And the other point, sir. So do you understand? We think that death is makruh. In other words, we think it's undesirable. We feel it's undesirable. But it's a good thing because it will make us meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point, as Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, that a person who's in a tight situation, in a sort of poverty situation. Oh, I don't want my business to collapse. I don't want my house to be lost. I don't want my money to reduce. Oh, I don't want to become poor. We are so concerned all the time about becoming poor that we don't want to become poor. We want to stave off poverty. I don't want to stay in this world as a poor person. Okay, no problem. There's no doubt. People want ease and comfort. Of course. What do we consider this? Oh, makruh, undesirable, not liked. The nafs doesn't like it that we don't have money or we're not rich or wealthy. So then, and here, what does Islam teach us? What does the deen teach us? What do we attain from deen? What does poverty give? What does a hard time give? What does a struggle give in terms of money and wealth and assets? It's a great reward in poverty, being hungry and in need and passing through with just a few things that we have. Then a person attains Allah's love in that state. That Allah Ta'ala says, I love most from all of the actions, from all of the conditions. And every Nabi, every Prophet had this quality. This is such a great quality, that this quality is created when a person is in a position of tight position, poverty, need. What does need create? Happiness, wealth and riches and comfort and luxury and owner of a house, owner of a palace? No, because poverty gives hunger and thirst during the day. So what do we get from both? Subhanallah. That those things that we like, that we desire, and those things that we don't desire, what's the difference? The things that we don't desire, Allah Ta'ala desires those things. Wah! Subhanallah. Those things that we dislike, Allah Ta'ala likes those things. Why? Because what's in those actions? What's the reality? What does a person attain from poverty? What does a person attain from hunger and a difficult scenario financially? What? A person learns humility and humbleness and simplicity, content, the feeling of content and being independent and not at ease and not worrying about anything. This is what a person attains. A person who's got the life of poverty and hardship, he has no worries at all. The biggest quality, greatest quality that all of the Nabis of Allah, the Prophets of Allah that they were given was the humbleness, humility, sincerity. Simplicity. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Sayyidul Mursaleen, the greatest Prophet, the head of the Prophets, and he had the most humility from everyone put together. Everyone saw this and agreed to this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed examples of humility, many hadith with regards to the example of humility. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm a normal man. I am the son of that mother who used to eat dried meat. And humility and humbleness and sincerity, it's such a great akhlaq. And the greatest example of the akhlaq of the Prophet was due to his humility, being humble and simple. And so while other people used to be attracted by this humility, they used to love this humility. And where does humility and humbleness and simplicity come from? When a person lives a life of hardship and poverty. But we have attained what today? Those things that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. And that is where people are stiff-necked and make a fuss and complain and greed and selfishness and desire to have everything for just oneself. Those things that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. And all of these factors are within mal and wealth. To leave deen, to leave salah in congregation, and don't have time for Islamic practice, to do good deeds, we don't have time. And without any need, keep on counting money and to die as a greedy person and stay distressed and upset and to have stress on our heads, on our minds, and to leave the tawakkal Allah. These are all signs of a person who is not prepared. Oh no, if this doesn't happen, well, how will I do this? If this doesn't happen, how will I do this? This is not the quality of a mu'min. The quality of a mu'min is tawakkal. Allah Ta'ala has given me today, Allah will give me tomorrow. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's promise is rizq. Allah will give the what He desires. Allah says, I will fill your stomach. Even if I don't fill it with chickens, Allah Ta'ala says, then alhamdulillah. But Allah Ta'ala will at least give you dry bread to fill your stomach with. Definitely your stomach will be filled somehow. Allah Ta'ala knows that what I need to insert, what needs to be inserted into the stomach and what will be digested. But But if a person says, oh, there's nothing, there's no assistance, etc. But however much we earn, I'll say, no, I'm going through bad times, it's difficult. I'm just getting by, I've got to pay off this person. I've got debts, so my hands are tight, my hands are squeezed. Don't ask, just don't ask. I've never heard anyone till today that which hand is tight, what's the problem? What issues do you have? Every rich person that we see, and they increase. I've never heard them say, oh, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah, I've got a few issues, but alhamdulillah, I've got a lot of money, and I've worked a lot, I've earned a lot. No. I need to give 100,000 to this person. I need to repay the debt, and I need to make more money and do more projects, etc. But you'll never hear from that person that, did you pray your salah today in Jama'at congregation? Your children, did they go to the masjid today? Did your wife pray salah today? Doesn't matter. A person is so neglectful of Allah. Allah's Nabi said that in one home, if a person is living in the house against the sunnah, away from the sunnah, and rejecting salah, your son, and he's baligh, after 7 years old age, a child has to pray. And if you don't take your child to pray and jama'at, then that house is destroyed. It's finished. It's got no barakah. The reality of the house has changed. There's nothing within the home, within the house. In that home where there's no Quran, that house is wilderness. In that home where there's haram, where children are just taught one thing, that mother and father are working, children are working, running around, amassing wealth. In the morning someone's going, someone they need things going, night shift, day shift, there's no time for eating, we don't know about sunnah. And a child is brought up in this environment nowadays, and the child doesn't have any learning, no target, no vision, no objective. So tell me, in that home, in that family, who will ever link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In that family. But Allah Ta'ala says, when people go through difficult times and phases with regards to financially, Allah says, then they don't go far from Allah. Because tawakkul Allah, reliance on Allah, increases through poverty and hunger. And that's what Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, that I like this also. So how the Sahabi, the companion of Rasulullah, opens the eyes wide. And then he stated that if these realities come in the life, then don't ask. Don't ask directly for these things. Just ask Allah for afiyah, for goodness, for goodness. Now what's the third item which is deemed or looked upon as makruh? Illness. Illness. Who would desire to have an illness? Nobody, isn't it? Nobody would desire to have illness. We see if someone's been ill and he's lying down, doctors coming, injections, medicines, he's ill, temperature. This happens, isn't it, when a person's ill? The reality of this is what? Is that this is mubarak, as Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, that illness is mubarak, a foolish person. You've got so many sins, that totally you are prepared to stand on the bank of hellfire, and there's 1 week left to your death, 1 week. And you're about to pass away, and this year you'll depart from this world. You'll be free from this world. And your sins are so much, and you have no chance maybe ahead. But Allah Ta'ala wants to take you out of Jahannam, so Allah Ta'ala gives you these illnesses. Through illness, every second your sins are reduced and the good deeds are increased. It's great achievement, if a person's ill. And this is reality of illness. That Allah Ta'ala will be merciful, that when our breath will be exhaled, and subhanAllah, all our sins will be removed, and a person will be smelling the fragrance of Jannah. There will be a zani, an alcoholic, a person who did the most actions, bad sins. He'll do everything under the sun which is bad. And then in thereafter, the doors of heaven will open for that person. And everyone will ask, Allah, how did this happen? Allah will say that I'm Rabb, I love everyone. And in his heart was Iman. And every person was Iman. That Allah Ta'ala says that even until the end point, I keep on showing the path of Hidayah to a person, whether he embraces or not. And Allah says, I don't like that the person who has iman in me, belief in me, and he says that I believe in Allah, wahdaniyat, wahdahu, one. Allah says he believes in me as one, even if he has atoms weight of iman, and he accepts that Allah is there, and Allah is the Rabb, Allah is present, and he is wahid, he is one. And nobody can compare to Allah, no other Rabb is there like Allah. Allah is ma'bud, Allah Ta'ala is one, wahid. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala has told us this, and a person then when he says this, that he doesn't think after that, even if he has an atom's weight of iman in his heart, Allah says, how can I do this? If a person's accepted me as a Rabb, that if a person has even one atom's weight of iman in his heart, then I will try my best to save him from Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala says. So this is the situation that me and you have been brought to this majlis and we sat down. There are many faces that I've not seen before today, subhanAllah. What do they know that what they will get after sitting in this majlis? They don't know. They haven't experienced it yet. They've come and sat down because there was an announcement. Look, what happens? What does a person do? What's happening? What does this person speak about? And what is dhikr? And what is this function? Well, there are people amongst us who think like, what's this dhikr? What's this they're about to do? Is this bid'ah innovation? What is it? But what does he know? What he'll get and what will occur? What rewards are there for this action? SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala has announced that the sinful, most sinful of people, the sinful of people, the most sinful of persons, if there's a gathering of dhikr and that person arrives to that dhikr gathering, then after the event finishes, the majlis finishes and he leaves, he gets up to leave, Allah says, I forgive all of his sins. So he should know why he has come. A sinful person, tell him, subhanAllah, sins will be removed. When a person goes in front of Allah, Allah will say, I forgave you that time when I sent you to the majlis. Why did I send you? Who sent you to the majlis? Tell me, Allah Ta'ala will ask. That how did you arrive to that gathering? How did you dare? How could you dare to just go yourself? A leaf doesn't move without the order of Allah. Allah says, if I wanted to, I could have made you go to sleep for a long period of time. I could have sent you somewhere else. But this is my zat. Allah says that I allowed you to sit in dhikr. Subhana. Amazing, amazing. And do you know whose thawab is that? Allah said, I forgave you after that gathering. This majlis was mahbub to me, beloved to me, Allah Ta'ala say. And I've told you this hadith many times before. So, a mu'min wants to depart. So, illness in reality, illness. What is illness? Every second, a person's sins are being compensated for. Even if you sneeze, you should say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. Why? Because the sneezing is compensation for the sins that came before it. You say, Allah, I am grateful to you that many sins have fallen off my body like a leaf falls when it's dry. So these three emotions, conditions, Hazrat is saying that these three conditions that we think are makruh, in reality, if you look at these three things, they are very blessed. Very blessed. So what happened? What am I saying? Is that we should ask for afiyah. We should always ask Allah for goodness. Don't ask for death. Don't ask for maut. Subhanallah, don't ask for poverty, hardship in eating and drinking. Prefer ease. And don't ask for illness, ask for afiyah. But Allah Ta'ala says that I have made circumstances and conditions in the world. When a person has problems and difficulties, then it's time for that person. When the person has difficulties and issues, he should realize that these are good things. But we make complaints that we won't be afraid before the issues come. We'll be totally free and without any issue. Because maut isn't coming. But when the feelings of maut come onto us, then a person starts to get scared. Then what's the point of being scared, a person, if you're about to pass away? You should be happy that Allah Ta'ala has given you the opportunity and you're not going to such a great place that you need it forever. So now you should express your happiness, O person, when maut is near. So this is the great point. So there's one thing I want to tell you technically, very great point. This is a Sufi point that I'm about to tell you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why does Allah ta'ala like these three things? Why does Allah like these three conditions? What's the reason behind this? That what is the condition in these three elements? Allah ta'ala said this is Mubarak. There's one point here, nukta, that Allah ta'ala likes the most. Or likes so much. And this is Rajulullah. In other words, turning attention to, focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah. Allah ta'ala says that every ibadah has been assigned for this reason. Look, five times salah you've been given. Five times salah. At least if a person's working in the world, occupied, busy, Allah ta'ala says at least 5, 10, 15 minutes, come and pay attention to me, bow to me, prostrate to me, come so we can speak to each other and exchange secrets. Oh, where are you going? Come, your Rabb likes you, your Rabb loves you, oh foolish person, just like a child. The mother says, come with me, my child, speak to me, and he comes after a long journey, then he goes to his friends. And mom says, he doesn't come home, she's desperate that he come home, give me some time. He's spending time with his friends, he's come after many years. This happens, isn't it? After so many years he's come, then he's going sitting with his friends and chit-chat. He comes in the evening, then she will drag on the son that come and sit next to me. Allah says, I've sent you in the world, my servant, you are my servant. Then at least give me a little bit of time and come and speak to me and communicate me. So through salah, that I will teach you the kalimat, the recitation. You have the adab and the manners. Allah says, I will allow you to pray to me. Subhanallah. So Surah Al-Fatiha, imagine, what's this Surah Al-Fatiha? Person is paying attention to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has given us ibadah. Allah has given us Ramadan so that we can pay attention to Allah. Quran so that we can pay attention to Allah. Everything comes on time. Hajj. At that time Allah says you don't pay attention to anything else. When a person goes on Hajj, Allah, Allah, Tawaf, etc. All the rituals. A person is remembering Allah. This happens, isn't it? When you come to Salah, you have the same fikr that Allah, I'm praying Salah. Whatever hal you're in, it's Rajul ilallah, towards Allah. But this is a specific time, short amount of time, isn't it? That, for example, Allah could have given a day off. But Allah Ta'ala says that, my servant, you, I love you. And why don't you love me every second of the day, Allah Ta'ala asks. Do you understand my point? Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Now I will tell you, Subhanallah. That these three elements that we deem as makruh, when a person hears about maut, he says, oh Allah, save me, Allah, save me. He'll remember Allah at that time, isn't it? And that time, how will he remember Allah? With ikhlas and sincerity, a person will present himself to Allah. That nothing in the world, even if the greatest treasure of the world is put in front of you and maut is put in front of you, you will not like any of those treasures. If someone comes and says, your shop is expanded, your work's expanding, your projects are working well, your business has grown, you say, oh, leave this nonsense. What are you telling me? And he won't want to speak about that subject. And what will he like at that time? That please tell me something about Allah, Surah Yasin, recite it, Surah Rahman, recite it so I can hear it. Aha, is this not the case? So at that time, that Allah Ta'ala says that, come towards me, focus on me, pay attention to me, I'm your Rabb, Allah. That a person, when he has ikhlas and humbleness and humility, then he's paying attention to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, this is what I wanted from you all your life long, a foolish person, and you didn't pay attention to seek help from me, Allah Ta'ala says. And this is the love of that can be created between the servant and Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is, so poverty, so death has hikmah behind it. And then poverty, hunger, thirst, a person says Alhamdulillah as well. Because when you eat a lot, you are burping, and you say Alhamdulillah, and you just rub your hands on your stomach. Then let it go down a bit so I can drink a bit more, another glass of Coke I can drink again. So the person seeks that seat, though, oh, for example, now I want to put some more meat into the plate so I can eat as much as I can. I've just come back from the toilet. So this is the rich person who looks. And so much so that at the time of eating, a person will fill up his plate. He knows I can't eat this much. And after eating, they'll leave the rest on the plate. Why? Because I have to eat this much. Have some more. It's made nice. He cannot eat that much. You can imagine that. This, look at our fist. You see the fist? This is how big is the stomach. That's it. Just look at the size of your stomach. Your fist. And the stomach is no greater, no bigger than the fist when it's clenched. And Allah Ta'ala says that increases. This does increase, Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. The more you increase it, so that's why the walis of Allah speak less, and that's why the stomach stays that same size as the fist, closed fist. What a sign Allah Ta'ala has given for the human beings, the normal layman, Subhanallah, and the wali of Allah, his friend. So this is a person. So there's undesirability when a person hears the word of maut. Then when there's poverty and hunger and thirst and no finance, Allah Ta'ala says that I like this condition. Subhanallah, your shine, oh Allah. Allah, Allah, I keep remembering Allah. Allah, please prepare some food. Please prepare some food. Does this not come? Allah Ta'ala says, I like this. Allah Ta'ala says, I like this. That better than 100,000 rich people is this person who's looking for Allah inside. Because Allah Ta'ala says that you are turning to me. You are paying attention to me. Allah says, this is the relationship with you. That's why Allah Ta'ala says that I prefer also people who have hard times financially. And illness, of course, illness will allow a person to remember Allah. When a person is ill, when he's a patient, who does he remember? Allah, Allah, hi Allah, the pain's headache. Allah ji, please help me. No one says, come, dukaan ji, shop ji, business, car, BMW ji. No one says this. Everyone says, Allah, Allah, there's a pain in my leg, Allah, my mawla. This happens, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says, this is what I wanted if you, a proper human being, and you kept on remembering me. Allah says, I won't give you illness, because the relationship, our relationship of love would have continued. So to drag you, just like I've made the salah fard, Allah says, I drag on you, I pull on you, just like fasting in Ramadan is fard. Allah Ta'ala says, many things are fard. In the same way, I've given you illness and dragged you towards me, Allah says, because Allah says, I love you much more than the mothers. Allah says, at least in some days we can meet, so you call out, and I can hear that you're calling out to me. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what we realize is that these three conditions and circumstances, Allah Ta'ala likes them so much because through these three conditions and circumstances, a person focuses on Allah, Rajulullah. Very few time, I'm not enjoying myself hearing this. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us ibadah, dhikr, remembrance of Allah, such that everyone can pay attention to dhikr, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So a dhakir, subhanallah, who is doing dhikr of Allah, the dhakir for him or her, maut is nothing. For him, poverty is nothing. For him, hunger, thirst is nothing. For him, illness is nothing. Because always he's paying attention to Allah. And subhanallah, he doesn't even realize that person who wants to get close to Allah, that what are the problems? Who's the dhakir? The dhakir. Allah Ta'ala has put so much reward in dhikr. Why is Allah Ta'ala giving so much reward in dhikr? That you've come for a few minutes or half an hour. Allah Ta'ala says, you've got forgiveness. Forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says, if you fill up the earth from the earth to the heavens, all of the sins in this space of Masjid Zakariya, and we can imagine the punishment in the grave or in the hereafter, and 5 minutes we sit to remember Allah, Allah Ta'ala makes them disappear. Such a great reward for dhikr, for this reason, because a person, when he does dhikr, he's paying attention to Allah, rujur, paying attention to Allah. And for this reason, the biggest action to make a person turn towards Allah is dhikr. And the dhikr has different categories. And the greatest action, that is kamal, that is a miracle. That's why it's given the title, is maraqaba. Maraqaba. Meditation. Silent dhikr. To remember Allah in the heart. This is the highest class method, the best way to remember Allah. Person who starts to do meditation, whose heart is alive, with the tawajjuh of the shaykh, with the attention of the shaykh, he started to do maraqaba. Because you need the tawajjuh of the shaykh when you do dhikr. You can do dhikr from your tongue. Remember this. You can do tasbih with the, you can do dhikr with the tasbih and la ilaha illallah. But maraqaba dhikr. Silent dhikr. Even if you travel thousands of miles away, but the tawajjuh, the sign of your shaykh, which should be with you. Otherwise you'll fail in maraqaba. This is the condition of maraqaba. I should remember this. So if a person has a connection with the shaykh, Allah Ta'ala has made a condition here. Because a person needs to be sincere first, humble, and humility. And this is ikhlas, being humble. When the death time comes, when the time of death comes, Allah Ta'ala says, I've sent the angel of death with the subhanallah. So in this maraqba, from this maraqba, a person attains the favor from a higher stage of tasawwuf. Do you know this? The hadith you will have heard. Ulema, respected scholars are here. They will tell you that when you get the favor, you get the condition, the example of faith, of a favor, that from every ibadah, when you feel this emotion, that Allah Ta'ala is watching me and I am watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which ibadah is linked to this? Which dhikr is linked to this? Maraqabai qalb, remembrance of Allah in the heart. How do we attain this? Maraqbai qalb. That's why it's important to go to the shaykh and have love for the shaykh. And this is the condition. This is the condition. This is the condition that a person should be fanaful shaykh. So much love. So much love and rabta. That the rabta, the connection with the shaykh, it pulls on the student. And only that person is successful who allows the pull to take place. And however great is the thing that when a person has tawajjuh of the shaykh, thousands of miles you are sitting far away, you sit in a village, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, in a small village, you're sat down, seated, and you're on a holiday, and your sheikh is somewhere else, and he's in a jungle, in isolation, and your connection is strong. Then you've gone into maraqba, straight away pay attention to your sheikh, and you will get all of the fares at that time, the blessings. So a person, he gets to a position where he's received the favor, and he can repay it. And every second a person can be paying attention to Allah. So how much life we are wasting, tell me. So much life, Allah Akbar, we are wasting it openly, like a flood. We haven't thought anything about our life, I swear by Allah. We have not learned anything in this world yet. We've never utilized our life properly. What face will we show in the Day of Judgment? Imagine. What face will we show? And such doors Allah Ta'ala has opened up for us, for His love, to attain His love, for His ma'rifah, for His nearness. For example, you're praying salah, and what is the salah of the world? And Allah Ta'ala says that you need to look at the quality of your salah, when you're praying, that Allah is watching you and you're watching Allah. And every sahabi had this condition and emotion. Why? Because it wasn't the tawajjuh of the shaykh. Rather, it was the shaykh of the shaykh, the head of the shaykhs, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Imam al-Mashaykh, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the Prophet's efforts, the Sahaba were made at the Sahaba. If the Prophet ﷺ did not pay attention and give tawajjuh and love and affection, then there would be no success. Isn't this the case? Yes. So the Prophet ﷺ came and shared his message and objective when he sat in dhikr and maraqaba. The Sahaba Akram, one by one, became a star because they followed the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the reason why in the dhikr of Allah we see the rewards are so great that until today, it's been 50 years for me speaking about the rewards of the dhikr of Allah, and they haven't stopped. They haven't stopped, isn't it, Qadi Sahib? Yes, are we finished? So we'll start again tomorrow. So the reward is not ceasing, it's not finishing. So for this reason, that the most beloved element here is in the dhikr of Allah, and that is the attention of Allah. If a person is paying attention to Allah, and Allah is paying attention to him, mutual. And this is maraqaba. You'll get this in maraqaba, and you cannot get this without having a sheikh. So if you have a sheikh and you are like a hypocrite with the sheikh, and you want the sheikh to hit you or to be strict with you, you lie to the sheikh, etc. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah alimun basir." That forget the shaykh, Allah, he says, I know and I have to hand it over, or is the shaykh going to give it? So you, for example, look at the source. What's the source of the problem? The means that I've given to you, you don't have yaqeen in this. How will you reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am Rabb, and I can remove the whole universe and come in front of you, Allah Ta'ala says. I can if I want to. That you don't need to call me to the masjid. Why did I have to give adhan, or to stand as imam, or to recite Quran so everyone can hear us? What was the need for bring me to salah? What was the point of waking me up? Why did I have to go into sujood, sajda, prostration? I'm Rabb, Allah Ta'ala says, and I could have made you stand in front of me, but I'm going with the requirements of the world at the same time. So, for example, if we want the veil to be removed that is between us and Allah, then there's one method that will do that. And that if we do that, we will attain the reward beyond the veil. SubhanAllah. Beyond the veil. So the person who's Fanaful Shaykh, then he becomes Fanafullah. He's immersed in the love of the Shaykh, he's immersed in the love of Allah. When a person passes, Alhamdulillah, that's enough. There's no bidah in this, there's no shirk in this, there's no difficulty. That is just telling you a method. And I'm just telling you a method as well. So that's why there's so much reward in maraqabah. In other words, that we are doing dhikr in the heart, and there's 70 times more reward in doing maraqabah. Rather, there's hadith that one moment of maraqabah is greater than 70 years ibadah. This is also a call and narration. For this reason, because in that one moment you bowed your head and the world was totally disappeared from your sight, and not a moment passed that Allah Ta'ala did not assess. So in that 70 minutes where you were doing other things, that 70 years you prayed salah and you carried on running your business. So with ikhlas, with humility, you said to Allah, Allah, once, and you gave this, you shared this information, Allah Ta'ala says that I like this action of yours more than you were. Then the person doing maraqabah all the time, he's benefiting. And those people have learnt, even then shaitan is there. Even then shaitan influences them. So if we're not Muslim, then how sad. So for example, we want to meet our shaykh, and we want the shaykh will call us, we will go, why do we need to go and see the shaykh? Oh, it's too difficult for us, too hard, we cannot come, etc. So start to hide, and they cannot even hide. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a generation we're living in, my friends. What a generation. I, few hours at a time, 120 degrees centigrade in the car, I used to stand on the road, on the pavement, with just a chappal on my feet, that my husband will pass by from here, and I can see his blessedness when he passes by. Please give me guarantee you stood there. He said, please show me 120 degrees centigrade. Even in DG Khan, this much heat does not come. So I did not know what time did Hazrat come out. I knew the Hazrat was to come out. It may not be that I go forward or backwards, etc. I would stand for an hour and see why. The Hazrat would pass by and I will see him. And when the visibility would be there, subhanAllah, there wasn't heat. Allah, but the sweat at that time was thy cool eyes at that time. I'm telling you the truth, the reality. So brothers, these are the words that we are sharing to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Not two tasbih, sometimes again, and it's 2 months since recovery, stories. So much time and life is being wasted. That person is in the sea, in the ocean, and he cannot drink the water. So with which face will we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have just one fikr. That even if we see a will of Allah, then we have fikr, please do dua for me, please do dua for me, please do this for me, etc. Oh, servants of Allah, if you're the servant of Allah, then ask for Allah. If you've attained Allah, then you've attained everything. Hazrat Nur Allah Rahmatullah said that if Allah is pleased, everyone will be pleased. So seek for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. That's the objective we've been sent to this world for. Oh, for example, oh, he said, Wali Allah, do dua for me. Please do dua for me. Is this a point? Is this something? Is this a method? Ajib. This is not the way to ask dua from Allah. That if you go towards a king and the sultan is there, they say, yes, what's happened? What do you need? Please give me £1. I want to eat. I say, oh, go away from here. Get out. You've come to the king. You're a total king and you're asking me for £1 for chapati. Ask for the kingdoms from me. Ask for the kingdoms. Is this some point? Is this something to ask for? Is it? SubhanAllah. Because we don't understand the akhirah is something. We could do something to sign up for that. The maut, we are scared of it. We say it's a very bad situation. But if we have love for it, then love for Allah and the love for Rasulullah. So my brothers, a beautiful hadith through which we have gone into detail and discussed and shared. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And especially this dhikr, pay attention to dhikr and meet a wali of Allah. Not necessarily that you meet me. I'm not giving you dawah to come to me. Don't think I'm saying to you that you have to come to me. I have no need. Meet a wali of Allah. Awliya Allah who? Look, that whoever you have love for and attraction to, there are many different people. So that wali of Allah whose heart is attracted to your heart, then consider that you have reached your destination for the guide. Because Allah Ta'ala has made that decision. You cannot have love for everybody. There are many females that are walking around. You're shown the signs. Allah says that this girl or this. And no, I want to do. Get married to this person. So the rest, the other females, why have you preferred them? They will ask them, why did you prefer us? So I didn't do it with my heart straight away. He said, no, I want to get married to this person. So there are friends of Allah, and there are many, and there will be many more. But that person, that's it. And then assign yourself over to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. End of story. Alhamdulillah. So I'm giving a message to you. Otherwise, I'm not a wali of Allah. I am not of any use. I'm wasting time. But my husband gave me a duty that will sit down and do dhikr of Allah. And I do this. Go and seek them. Seek them. Make some struggle and striving. And then do this action. How long will we do this? Clothing, food, eating, drinking. That will this stop us from eating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that don't delay your awlad, your mal, etc. Why are these things stopping you from getting close to Allah? Why are they making a restriction for you? Why? For this reason, Allah Ta'ala says that you will forget me. That's why I haven't given you ease and comfort, because otherwise you will forget me. Allah Ta'ala says, inshallah, these will continue, these three conditions, and other better things will come. So brothers, we shouldn't waste time. We should make haste and step forward. Life could be short, and we should go to the friend of Allah. Within a few seconds, a minute or two, you won't be made Junaid Baghdadi or Bayezid. And for example, the same way, the teacher will teach you how to do dhikr. The dhikr, if the dhikr has come, then all success will come. All success will come. And this condition continues. So will we make effort? Inshallah, mashallah. You do dua for me as well, and I'll do dua for you. That we are all weak and we're wasting our time. And now we don't have time to waste after today. Just like the condition of the world. And Imam Mehdi can come at any time, I tell you. I tell you, what will happen then? Then all the situation will change. So let's prepare beforehand. There's only a little bit of time. Imam Mehdi will come. Then we should be, because there will be direct decisions at that time, I tell you. And then all Munafiqat hypocrisy will finish at that time. Then there will be just like water and milk, clear night and day, black and white. Milk and water separate, oil and water separate. Then we'll see whose aqidah is right, whose action is, whose practice is correct. So do what you can do now, because this is the time. So we can become capable, that we can meet with him. And Subhan, he will say that, yes, this is my assistant, come. Otherwise, there will be two groups. يَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمِينَ. That there will be mujrimeen, the people who are the criminals, and they will be those who try to deceive. And if we're in that group, then what will be our hal? If we're in that category, where will we go? If we try to deceive ourselves and others, we should improve our lives, make our lives better. With the fadl of Allah, with the time to come, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَى. It will be very good time that the Quran has mentioned. That don't be afraid of death, don't be afraid of the hereafter, don't be afraid of the grave, anything. Because these are all good things and good phases for the mu'min. All of these are good things and good phases for the mu'min. Never has it come that, oh, send him into Jahannam or do this and that. Allah says, I love the mu'min. I love the believer. I love the mu'minat. So have some courage and determination for what you are doing. Recite the Durood Sharif.